Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. This is a special show for Veterans Day, and I want to thank Jim Clark, West Point graduate, career military officer, and we're just going to talk about things veteran. But what we first, both of us, want you to know is the parade will be Friday, the 10th, not the 11th. And that's kind of like a first, Jim, isn't it, for here?
It is and it isn't. We've done it before because of the Saturday dates, because of the proximity to the Jewish place of worship next door. It kind of interferes with parking and all of that. And given what's going on in the world this year, we don't need to be firing volleys off and all that while they're in their prayer. So just to be kind to our neighbors and our friends. So
that's great.
They don't have that extra anxiety. Yeah.
Well, you know, Veterans Day is always, I think, for me and Jim, I won't speak for Jim, it's always a day that I am thankful for my service. And I'm thankful for all the friends that through the years, all the other veterans who I've met and who have given so much. And, you know, it's a special day, I think. You know, in the military, it's a real special day.
It is, yeah. And it's just one of those days, too, where, you know, separate it from Memorial Day, where Memorial Day is more somber. This is a day to enjoy, you know, and be proud of what you did, be proud of the people that you served with and the families that supported you during all of that time. And it's upbeat. This time I've asked the kids to march in the parade, elementary school kids. And we always had the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and this and that. But as we've said many times before, I mean, this is a learned trait. You know, you're not born patriotic. So this is something that get them exposure. I have always loved it when the families bring their kids out for the parades. And, yeah, 4th of July parade's always a big deal. But this one's more geared towards, you know, veterans. And so is Memorial Day. But, again, it's teach them what it's about. Let them appreciate it. And, you know, our ranks are getting smaller and smaller. You know, when we were doing all of this and setting up at the park, they wanted to know what time we'd be there by. And I said, well, normally we're there by 10:30, but that's a couple years ago. It might be 10:35 this year.
Yeah.
I guess we have some EV charging stations along the way to reboot somebody's scooter or whatever.
Yeah.
But we'll be down there. So 10 o'clock, it kicks off from North and Fenn Street. It'll go south on North Street to the park. And then after that, probably 10:45, 11 o'clock at the latest, we'll get the ceremony going. And it'll be a good day.
Yeah, and I'm glad you made that distinction, too. Veterans Day is more of a day of celebration as opposed to Memorial Day.
Right.
Before I forget, some of you will notice I have facial hair. That's not because I enjoy growing a beard, because I don't. But I have family members who have prostate cancer. I've lost friends who've had prostate cancer. And that No Shave November is to remind people to get your prostate exam. You know, if they catch it in time, it's not a big deal. If they don't, it's a killer. So,
as we both know.
I mean, Vietnam people do not fool around with this because the parade itself, you know, it always, like you said, I can remember as a kid, oh, we didn't have an option. We're going to the parade. You know, and my father and your father were both firefighters. They marched in a parade. They were fire. I mean, it was just, you were, And Jim just made another excellent point. We were expected to be at the parade because we were learning patriotism from the time I can remember, honestly. You know, of course, there were all the World War II guys. The parade, the Veterans Memorial Day parade would be as long as the 4th of July parade.
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah, we're lucky we get 10 or 12 per unit now.
Yeah.
A finite number of folks in the different especially the VVA. I mean, you know, it's Vietnam veterans. I mean, eventually there won't be any Vietnam veterans around, and it's getting smaller and smaller. I think we'll probably have more kids than marchers this year, but it's still for all the same reason, you know, celebrate that. Just because you can't walk doesn't mean you can't enjoy the the appreciation.
And get out and clap. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the ones that are marching, I mean, my marching days are over, but the ones that are marching, clap for them. The world today is goofy. In case you haven't been catching up with the gym, the people, I'm sorry if I don't want to go down, but what's going on in the world at the college campuses and demonstrations and all that? That's not what America's about, in my opinion.
Right. It's what those veterans caused to allow to happen. Because of their service, they allow you the freedom of speech and the freedom to do that.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, they like it or not.
Right now, I just will make this disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Tyre in the Mayor's Office, Peter Marchetti in the City Council, and or the one person that's driving their motorized bike in front of St. Joseph's Church today and almost ran over the old soldier. Why do you think we have bike lanes? Sorry about that. But Jim, when you were in the service, it's a way of life. It's not a job. I mean, I think some people go in thinking, well, I'll go for a couple of years and have a job. But it truly is a way of life.
It is. And you know, it's a skill set you learn, too. Besides just what your MOS is, it's also other things that employers and potential employers look for. Attention to detail, loyalty, timeliness. Those are the additional things you get from other than learning to be, you know, a tank driver or an infantryman or a machinist or mechanic, and whatever you chose to do. There's those other intangibles that I think that a lot of people, if you talk to employers, appreciate. And I think even more so today, because it takes a lot to decide to go into the service. I know when my son entered back in, you know, the mid 2000s, it was, you know, not when you go to war, it's, or if you go, but it's when you go.
Yeah.
And I spent multiple times, you know, over in Iraq and the area over there. And it takes quite the person to say, I know I'm going to go, then I might go.
Yeah.
Because I can be honest, when I joined in the, there was nothing going on. You know, little did I know 12 years later, everything would be going on, and it hasn't stopped since. But, but you don't know that. And, but like I said, going back to the college campuses and all that, I think that people need to realize that the reason these people have this ability to protest, hopefully protest peacefully and all of that, is because of the veterans and those that went way before them to give them that inalienable right for freedom of speech and to assemble. And people forget that. They don't understand why they have that right. It's just, well, that's my right. I can do that. Well, right. How did you get your rights?
Because
you couldn't have done that under the king in England. So, you know, you have to understand why you have these privileges and these rights. And that's why it's lasted 200 and almost 40 years now.
Yeah.
Because of the people that supported and defended that to happen. And I don't think it really sinks in. That just amazes me what's coming out of the college campuses now, what I watch on TV.
Yeah.
To the point where you see the big colleges, college alumni from some of the biggest schools in the country, Harvard, Columbia, and all that going, I want their names.
Yeah.
I want the names of the people that are doing this, because I'm not hiring them. And I'm not going to let anybody of my people hire them.
Yeah.
So it's really gotten kind of strange, like you said earlier. And I don't know. I just hope it all ends peacefully and nobody gets hurt doing this. And I wish no harm on anybody. But, you know, you got to, if you got that much energy, join the military. They can always use you. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. We're always looking for a couple of you know, good hands and out to do it. I to go back with what you're saying, it is so disheartening to me. I make this comment. We're by, thank God, we're by the voting day. We have new mayor and people and all that. But bottom line, I hope you voted, because as I say this, if you don't vote, if you didn't vote, don't gripe. And the next time you go into a cemetery and you see all those flags waving, you know, just say, oh, boy, I'm sorry. I was just too busy to vote. Even though at some point in time you put your life on the line.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. That's a true thing, too. I just, you know, we've given everybody the right for a democratic process. And, you know, let's see how it unfolded. You know, by the time this airs, we'll know who our new mayor is and who our new council members are. We know who the school committee is. That's already predetermined. But you live in this great country where you have the opportunity to do that, and to have six candidates only is kind of surprising. I do realize it takes time out of your life and all that to do that. And, thankfully that we had at least six. I wonder what would happen if we only had five,
right,
that wanted to run. But, it is, you know, it happens. But, you know, you mentioned the flags wave. I just want to give a shout out to Kiwanis. Park of Honor looks great again this year.
Where? Phenomenal.
We just had, the Secretary of Health and Human Services here for a visit today. And she drove by the park on her way in and couldn't help but, admire it and thought that was really cool. So, So.
I know teachers, I live with one, actually, now retired, but they always, as your significant other, wife, they always made a point of it. Veterans Day, Memorial Day, Washington's birthday, Martin Luther King's birth. Rather than all this malarkey, I watched this, and you know, there was a guy on this morning, a billionaire, and he wants the names, and he's a Harvard guy, and he's going to stop giving to Harvard.
You're right.
Yeah. You know, I mean. It is. Yeah. I don't know, Jim. I don't know where it's all coming from. I know I lived through some of it. Nothing like this. Going to Vietnam, being a Vietnam veteran, even coming home.
Right.
I can remember I was at a party in another town. I won't mention the name because I might have to go back there one day. I was there and I had a, you know, suntan and, they asked me, the bouncer came right up to us and said, are you a veteran? I said, yeah. He said, Vietnam? I said, yeah. He said, I prefer you leave.
Yeah, for your own safety.
Yeah.
No, it's a shame. And I was having a conversation with someone the other day about, you know, VA and all that, and a conversation you and I've had many times about how it's not your father's, not your grandfather's VA. I share this story and I never throw any names with it, but tell him about how you walked out with that guy. He said, are you a veteran? He goes, no, I'm too smart to be a veteran.
Yeah.
Remember that clown?
Oh, yeah. Like he haunts my dreams.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. But, you know, then again, I don't think anybody goes in the military to say, well, I'm going to come out a veteran.
Yeah.
No,
I never even thought of it.
No, you can't be a veteran until you're a veteran. So it's not something you got to go through certain things in order to get there. But I do always enjoy Veterans Day. Like I said, I like to celebrate it.
Yeah.
It's just, unfortunately, it's not the unofficial end to summer that ended a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Like Memorial Day, we always call that the unofficial start of summer. It'll be a fun day. We've got the Veteran of the Year award that year, Michael Bradley, Mike Bradley, who well-deserving. He's been singing our national anthem for us for the last couple of years, and can't ask him to do that. He's the honoree that day, so we want to have him make him work to get his award. So this year we've got, actually I reached out to Pittsfield High, and one of their chorus members is actually going to sing.
Oh, great.
So, do something a little different. And so invited all the work through Marissa Mendoza and Joe Curtis to get the word out to the schools. So some of the schools are going to participate and march in the parade with the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts. And we got the Sheriff's Department, Fire Department, Police Department, Honor Guards will all be there. And then obviously the Legion Riders, because Mike's a Legion Rider, that they'll be actually starting off the parade at the front. And hopefully Wild Bill will be up there with a pace car up front, get us started. So they're always fun. And
they're always fun.
The fact that we kick off right, I'll be sitting there with Mark Maddalena on the corner looking at my watch, go 5, 4, 3, let's go, right at 10 o'clock. And we'll step off right on time, you know. So
that's that fine West Point training of yours.
It's military. It had nothing to do with West Point, but that might be part of it. But I did watch them beat Air Force this week, and I didn't think that was going to happen. I think they have a prayer, and they just wiped the floor with Air Force this week, which was funny. And there's actually going to be one of the first person of this part of the military that I met is actually going to be in a parade with us. She's the new recruiter for the Space Force.
And oh, wow.
Here in Pittsfield. So Lacey Dixon, she's going to march in the parade with us.
Oh, wow.
She's a recruiter from the Space Force, which is kind of cool.
I
wish I was a little bit younger again. I'd go back and try that. You know?
Yeah. Yo, when I was there, the Space Force was the bakery. The bakery.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get her on, and I'll tell you why. My sister has a house on the Panhandle.
Uh-huh.
And that's where it's located, in Florida, at that base.
Right.
And it's truly amazing. And one of the things that I noticed was that, you know how they have all these radar things and they're all like this, and, you know, theirs are all looking straight up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. But, Jim, people will probably criticize us for this, but that's fine. I got more out of the military than I gave to the military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
That's a fair statement, I think. Because I was trying to explain to somebody the other day what the whole process of the military is upon entrance. And basically, they break you down to nothing and build you back up the way they want to build you with almost preformed blocks. So they denigrate you down to the lowest level and then build you up as the way, you know, the cookie cutter design that they want. And that's your first 8 weeks. Then you go off to some other training. Some's a little more intense than others. Some's mostly booked and stuff. Others are out in the field and learning infantry, armor, artillery. But it all depends on what you chose to do. But that first 8 weeks, everybody has in common is the, you know, basically the breakdown, build back up the way they want you. So everybody knows how to salute. Everybody knows how to, you know, march. They knew how to do, you know, about face, reverse step. I mean, all those things are just ingrained in you that, and you know, and I'm the guest speaker on
Friday.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Well, only because I got this right at the last minute and it was too late to ask anybody to, you know, take over. And I've been working on something for a number of years. So this is kind of like, you know, you're a veteran if.
Yeah.
So, and some of what we're talking about right now is part of it. I won't share any of it ahead of time. I don't want to give away the speech, but you can identify, you know, people, there's certain strut or their, the way they carry their hands or, not everybody, but you know, a lot of people you can identify, especially career people, you can tell. You know, it's something I would do over again, all of it from basic to cadet basic to West Point. I'd do it again, even though knowing what's going on in the world right now. And just, you know, I'm very proud of what I did. And, I don't want to sound conceited, but I'm proud of what I did, not what we did, but what I did, during that time and how I it grew from where I was to where I am now. Yeah. And without a lot of those experiences and chances, and I always talk about the fork in the road. I mean, a couple times I was, you know, kind of shoved over to, you know, take that path, a path that I didn't want to take. Sure. And I took that path and it worked out. Other times I took another path and maybe that wasn't the right path, but, you know, all in all, in the end, it was, you know, beneficial to me. And I'd like to thank the people that served under me and all of that, and I'll give you the example of that. You know, the example of that is when I ran the Wounded Warrior program, I am not a doctor. You know, I can barely spell MD. But I surrounded myself with good people because one thing that doctors and nurses in the military do really well is doctor and nurse things. Leading Absolutely. Organizations and all that and leadership is not one of their top things.
Right.
If we had people that, especially when you're short doctors or nurses, we don't need people out there in command roles. So when the Army created the Wounded Warrior Program, we put combat armed guys in charge of it.
Yeah.
Because we knew how to build organizations or run organizations. So we let the medical experts do what they're good at. And I think that was by creating that organization and multiple organizations, and I had to go around and fix a lot of the organizations that weren't working right, got them to where they were, and the countless number of soldiers, now veterans, who benefited from the care that they received from that program is just phenomenal. And I think that's, again, could I have been one of those nurses and doctors? Probably not. Maybe near the end through osmosis, we had a doctor from Walter Reed come one day and sat in on one of our meetings that we were having, because I had weekly case manager meetings with different case managers, and we're going through and I'm asking all these questions, and he goes, this is when we changed from the BDUs to the ACU, so it didn't have your branch on it anymore.
Yeah.
So we're talking, I'm asking all these questions with one of the nurses, and he goes, by the way, where'd you get your medical degree? He was like, serious? I go, medical degree? I'm an armor officer, dude. Yeah. He's like, what? Yeah. So, yeah. But it was just, you know, from doing it over and over again and seeing people. And as you recall, Bill, everything was repetitive. You know, that's how you got good at it. You did it over and over and over again. Then you do it with your eyes closed. And, you know, I was telling somebody the other day about task conditions and standards. I'm like, what's that? I said, well, that's what every training event was. This is the task. Task is to disassemble and assemble your M16. The conditions in reduced light or no light. And the standards, you got to do it in 60 seconds or less.
Yeah.
Task conditions. Everything had a task condition and standard. And that's how you you set up the training, how you evaluate it, and whether you're a pass or a fail. So did it over and over and over again. And it just, you know, that's how we learn.
Yeah. And the just the camaraderie, I did that, Jim, for let me just see if I can get this back. I'm having problems with my camera, but I don't know why. God only knows. But the thing that the camaraderie, it was duty above self.
You know.
I mean, you're more worried about the other guys than they are about themselves, and they're more worried about you. So, yeah. And like I said at the beginning of the show, and now you're all blurry, so I don't know what's going on. It's probably just my machine. But it's a way of life. And I can remember this DI saying, a very articulate guy, the Army is an institution. Either roll with it, because if you try to roll against it, it'll roll right over you. And boy, you know, I can see him standing on the perch they used to get on.
Yeah.
But we're going to take a break. I'm here. This is Jim Clark. He's a wonderful guy. West Point graduate, career military officer, armor officer. But the other piece is this. He's now, he's in charge of the senior center. And I'm hoping that, you know, as soon as I get to the age where I can join, I'm looking forward to going there. But seriously, if you are a veteran, take advantage of your veterans' benefits. Get enrolled in the VA. I don't care if you need anything now that doesn't make a darn. I had a very good friend, who had a bad experience with the VA. Most everybody has had at least one bad experience with the VA.
Yep.
Because the VA is made up of people. Anyhow, and he copped an attitude. He ended up getting very sick. Part of it was an injury that he had received when he was in the service. And it was just too bad because he could have gotten much better care at the VA. I will also say this. It's not your father's VA.
Right.
We have the local clinic here in Pittsfield, the VA in the Conti building. I'll put them up against anybody in the medical.
Anybody. Yeah. Best group of people I know.
Yep. And I go down Leeds, or as we call it, Northampton. And I also go to the VA big hospital in Jamaica Plains. I am treated with the utmost respect, and the care that they have given me, second to none. Second to none. So, veterans, you may have an axe to grind, but let me share this with you. You're not hurting them if you don't sign up.
Yeah, you're only hurting yourself. Yeah.
That's right. We're going to take a break. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We're simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. And hopefully our pictures are coming over better there than they are here. So we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. This is a Veterans Day show. I'm honored and privileged to have with me, and I mean that, a wonderful guy. His name is Jim Clark. He is a West Point graduate, and that does mean a lot. He gets embarrassed when I do this, but he's a St. Joe kid, a Pittsfield kid, but he's also a West Point graduate and a career officer in the military.
I got to correct something, Bill.
What?
I'm a Taconic grad.
Oh, I thought you went to St. Joe.
No.
Oh, okay.
My kids did. I went to Taconic, yeah.
Okay. I knew somebody went to St. Joe.
Yeah.
We'll talk about why I didn't go off air. But anyhow, we're
I'm
here.
The same reason I didn't.
We're here to celebrate Veterans Day. And the parade's a little different this year. And I can't thank the city enough, the mayor, the city, everybody involved, for being so sensitive to our Jewish colleagues, our Jewish neighbors, our Jewish friends. And Jim, tell them why we moved it till Friday.
Well, we did it specifically for just that reason, because it was going to go on at the same time. Their prayer service goes on at the same time as the ceremony. And as anybody who's been to a ceremony knows, we do a volley. A salute volley and loud noises and the crowds and all that. It just not fair to impinge on their day of worship, given what's going on in the world. I mean, it was a very obvious thing to do. It was a very simple suggestion, and everybody, as you said, approved it. And for all the same reason, it just makes sense. And having said that, you know, they will be represented there. I know Bobby Waldheim won't be there, but somebody will be there to put the wreath on and all that. which they wouldn't be able to do had it been on Sunday too, or Saturday as well. So
yeah,
it allowed the people to be there. So, but it was a very easy call. I mean, that without even saying it, I mean, you know, I just hope people don't take offense to that, but I don't know why you would. But like, as our conversation earlier about college campuses, I'm not sure why they're doing what they're doing there either right now. So
I'm at a loss for humanity. I'm at a loss for words. I don't want to turn this show into, but my wife and I, we toured Auschwitz and Buchenwald. And if you have ever want to see something that will send chills up your spine, I suggest you do that.
Yeah, I went to Dachau.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. So, this is a very eerie feeling.
Yeah, yeah. You can't believe man's inhumanity to man, to their fellow man, is amazing.
Right.
But, you know, even today now, we the military is so advanced. I mean, with drones and all the stuff they have, young people who are looking for a career and they don't want to go to college, go in the military, but get into one of those training programs because they're phenomenal.
And you know, again, from the recruiting standpoint, from the military, they don't expect every year to recruit 20-year veterans.
No.
They're anticipating, you know, maybe 5 to 8% of the ones that come in every year are going to stay for 20 years. The rest they know is going to be turnover. And that's why those jobs are at that lower level. You got, like use a tank crew, for example. You got the driver, the loader, the gunner, and the tank commander. The driver's normally the most junior. Maybe the loader, it depends, but the loader also is a backup gunner. So he's a little more advanced, but then your gunner's normally a sergeant E5 or E6. Tank commander is a sergeant first class or an officer. And so, you know, that's, we count on, you know, more people coming in. The British system, the way they do it is you could be a tank driver for 20 years.
Yeah.
In the U.S. Army, if you're not up and out of PFC or Spec 4 corporal within such a time, you're out of the military.
Right.
And you're expected to move up. But in the regimental system, like in Britain, you could drive a tank for 20 years. Now, you're not going to make a whole lot more money. You're still going to be you cap out at the rank that you want. But that's what you do. And you're probably one of the best ones there is in the Army.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, at times, I think sometimes we miss the boat on that. We have people that we force up into the ranks of, and it's not just the military, they force them into leadership roles, and all they wanted to be is a follower. Now you're forcing them to be a leader because you send them to the primary non-commissioned officer course or something like that. And they, you know, okay, we just gave you everything you need to know to be a leader in 4 weeks or three weeks. It doesn't work that way. And you know, some people grow up into that. They follow from the examples they saw from their predecessors.
Yep.
And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. A lot of times the hardest thing to do is move up in rank in the same unit that you used to. Now you're somebody who's leading people that used to be your friends, and that's hard to do because they don't want to listen to you because you're buddies.
Yeah.
So
I know very well.
yeah. But it's just, I always wondered if we had that wrong. You know, if you become a squad leader, say you're in a battalion.
Yeah.
You become a squad leader in A troop. Well, or you rise to the rank of squad leader in A troop, but we're going to put you over in B troop. So you lead different people, not all your buddies, you know, somebody different. And because I saw good and bad with that throughout the years, you know, you didn't want to keep anybody back from moving forward if they wanted it. But some people just were happy being the follower. I just love driving a tank. That's all I want to do. I don't want to be a loader. I don't want to be a gunner. I'm a pretty, darn good tank driver, and that's what I want to do. Sorry, if you don't move up within the next 6 months, you'll be driving tractor trailer out in the, in the country because you won't be on tanks or in the military anymore. You kind of blew it there.
And the military will lose all of your experience. Because the guy that replaces you is a brand, as we used to call him in Vietnam, a cherry.
Yeah.
They're brand new, right?
Yeah.
You're right in so many ways with that because I had a good friend who was a door gunner and a Huey, And that's all he wanted to be. He was respect for, that was it. And the next thing he got promoted, I believe it was to sergeant.
Right. And probably a crew chief.
Yeah, he didn't want that. He wanted to be a door gunner. He didn't want all the responsibility of a crew chief.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
So you're right. I think you hit it on the head there.
Well, we've always had to say, if you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat it. And, you know, that goes for even the lowest level things. If, we can't learn from these mistakes of promoting somebody before they're ready to, you're going to pay the price. So why do we keep doing it? You know, we talk about that more in the advanced levels. You know, hey, you know, frontal assault on this thing is probably not a good idea. Didn't we learn from it before? So let's not do it again. But it applies at all levels. And, again, you learn the hard way. And the problem is, in the military, the one thing that changes, you change it like with every administration changes. You know, you're going to get a new secretary of defense, the secretary of the military branches. You're going to get a new joint chiefs, chairman of the joint chiefs every so many years. And just before they start to really get something put in, it goes away and they change. Yeah. I remember when Eric Shinseki was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And then, he had an issue when Bush came out of office and President Obama came in. So he got out. But then he put him in charge of the VA. And he made some really good changes. Eric Shinseki only had one foot. He lost part of his foot in Vietnam. He was my assistant division commander in 1st Armor Division during Desert Storm. And he learned. And, you know, he obviously went through the VA, but he stayed on active duty.
Yeah.
He was a really good guy. He was a great guy to be mentored by. But like I said, he didn't give up. He had part of his foot. And he and General Frank, who was at that point in time, he was the Corps commander for 7th Corps, and he lost part of his foot in Vietnam. So the joke used to be between the two of them, they could have had two good feet to dance with. But they were, you know, they were good folks. Yeah. And but I saw, you know, General Shinseki try to change things, and that was when he left, because he, if you don't remember that he's the one that brought the beret back.
Yeah.
So, that kind of was his legacy that stayed, you know, since he's been in. But way too many times we fail to learn from history, and we make the same mistakes more than once.
And the thing, too, is, and I repeat myself for people who are just joining us. If you are a veteran, whether you need it now or you don't need it now, you're young, you're back, you're home, bye-bye, you're happy, you got. Please sign up with the VA. Jim will tell you the importance of it. Don't wait till you need the VA. Be part of the process of the VA. Be involved, get registered, get signed up.
No, I just had an 80-something-year-old came to me the other day, or a family member for an 80-year-old said, what are his VA benefits? It's like, what did he sign up for? What has he done? He goes, well, nothing. He's got a laminated card from 1960 that says he's, you know, in the VA. And it's like, if it doesn't look, I pulled mine up, if it doesn't look like this, then it's nothing. It means nothing. And kind of got a challenge, like, well, how can that be? He's a veteran. It's like, just to your point earlier, they don't care if you sign up or not. You're just one less person they have. And, you know, we're always going through providers. You know, we're down a provider again in Pittsfield, and people are getting shuffled around, and that's okay. That happens. There's not consistency to sit there and say, well, how many people in Pittsfield need, you know, how many doctors and providers we need in Pittsfield to cover central Berkshire County in this area? Because people don't sign up. They don't know they're there. I mean, you know, there's no tracking device on a veteran where you are.
Yeah.
You know, it still befuddles me to this day how we have to have people walk the streets and climb through windows and sit in trees and spy on people to do the 10-year census every year when everybody's got a social security number. And they get, you know, it's like, okay, there they all are right there. I don't know, but we don't have that way of tracking veterans unless there's something that comes up and you're like, how did you find me? You get this letter out of nowhere. So they know where you are, but it's crazy.
But now, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, but now part of your discharge process is the VA.
That's what General Shunseki started. That was probably, besides the beret, that was his thing on the VA side, was that no person could leave the service unless they were already enrolled in the VA. And that goes through the different branches. You have Army Career and Alumni Program. You have the Transition Assistance Program from the different services like Air Force and Marines. So basically a year out before you get out, you start your process of leaving the service. So you start filling out your VA paperwork. Technically, if it were to work right, if you were any service-connected disability that required compensation, say you were getting out December 30th from the Army, you would get your last paycheck on December 30th, and by January 30th, you would get your first paycheck from the VA.
Wow.
And that's in theory, that's in writing. Does it happen that quickly? In some cases, it has. But that's why you start a year out and you know what your issues are. Because a lot of people don't have issues. They may get those issues in that interim time between the time you went through ACAP or TAP until you get out. So it's up to you to keep it up. And most people don't. They don't think about that. That's not something they're thinking about till later on. Or they get with their buddies and say, well, you know, I have this wrong with me. Why'd you go to the VA? Well, no. Why? Because they can do this, this, and this for you. I mean, hearing is a perfect example. You know, tinnitus and just hearing loss in general. I can remember a young girl up in Leeds. We were going through the hearing booth up there, part of my comp physical. And she's asking, well, didn't you wear hearing aids or hearing protection and earmuffs and all that? I'm like, really? You ever been in combat?
Yeah.
Ever? You know, and she's like, well, no. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, we're going to do a pause right here so we can put our hearing protection in, and then we're going to, you know, start shooting at each other.
Yeah.
So,
or you lay there at night listening.
Yes.
You're just listening, and even to this day, I have to have some other sound.
Yeah.
You know, Yeah, I mean, I love those people down there. They really are good to us. Now, I had a very bad experience with the Polish princess the first time I went there. I could have copped this attitude, well, screw them, I'm not going to go.
Right.
But people here that had been said, don't do it. They don't care if you go.
Right.
You're not hurting them.
Right.
And I think it's only fair that we say that we're not your father's VA anymore. It truly is not your father's VA. We've had one of the guys, he's still in town. Actually, I wouldn't mind getting him as my primary care, because my guy, Craig Kirby, who was great, he's retired. But Dr. Somali, he was terrific. Here, and Dr. Hickey was another one, but he got scooped up by Albany Med.
Yeah.
So, but we have such a vital, what would you say, Jim, a core staff there that had been there for a long time.
Yeah, that's a great way to explain it. Yeah, the core, you know, basic admin staff, nursing staff, they know people, and almost any scenario you can throw by them, they've seen it. Or at least know where to get the answer or something from. They're very, very attentive to your needs, which I think is great. And a lot of, you know, fill-ins for actual MDs now have been nurse practitioners and PAs. Yeah. And the NPs are phenomenal.
Yeah.
They have a different view. I had a lot of NPs in the Wounded Warrior program. They're more holistic. They care about, you know, the bottom of your foot to the top of your head, and you get in there and they want to know everything, where sometimes your doctor is limited to the 5 minutes of what you're there for. And they say, well, I got this. Well, we have to schedule another appointment for that. You know, because I don't have time before I have to go to the next place.
Or they're knocking at the door.
Right.
You're knocking at, you've had your 15, doctor.
Yeah. Well, see you in 3 months. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. It's like going to the deli without the ticket.
Right. Yeah, that's not. Yeah, I mean, I never saw that over at the clinic. I'm just saying, you know, in general, they care about you because, you know, like I said, I have a physical this week, and it's actually a telemed one, but I have to go over there. The nurse does all the vitals, and then I get on with a doctor and just talk about the vitals and general health overall. So that'll be the first time for me doing one of those. But I've heard they're fine for people that've done them.
Yeah. So, works well, for my. Me. My lung doctor out of Jamaica Plains, I see him twice a year in Jamaica Plains.
Right.
But twice I do the telemed.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, it's just as good because if you need anything, bing, 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 it's either in the mail or you got another appointment. And it saves a trip to Boston.
Yeah, sure does. Yeah, just with the... Secretary of Health and Human Services and the new Commissioner of Public Health. And we were talking about that, you know, if you were asking me what the top three needs of seniors were, it would be housing, transportation, and access to specialty appointments. Because, you know, somebody has to go to Springfield for this or like eye injections or whatever, they got to pay out of pocket. And I know we haven't worked with a new provider, home care provider here.
Yeah.
Who bought a van to transport her patients and other people, just figuring out what the bare bone cost of her to operate that van just to go to Springfield and back is north of $200 per trip.
Yeah.
Well, you got to pay the driver, you got to pay the, you know, everything else. And it adds up quick.
Yeah.
And she's actually made more trips to people to go to Boston than even to Springfield right now. But that's an expensive day too, because a lot of transportation is not covered. And that's why we're trying to reduce the number of trips people had to make. If there's no hands on, then let's do it via telemed and save that person a couple, $300 for transportation costs. And, you know, like the one they're doing at the clinic, you go to the clinic, you do your telemed there, but the nurse does all the vitals and everything. So there is hands-on, but not actually hands-on by the provider. So it works. And, we'll see. I haven't done it before, but it's no different than you and I doing a Zoom call right now. So,
And I will tell you because, like, I have diabetes. So the doctor, they want it to see your feet and all that. They do it through telemed. You know, and... they'll have, like you said, the nurse will be there, tip it, whatever. The VA, I have to say the last 15, 20 years, I can't say a bad word about them. Before that, stand up, I got all day.
Yeah, right.
From my first experience there you're what, Vietnam? Sit over there. Keep your mouth shut. We'll call you when we want you.
Right,
Dude, I didn't have a long fuse before I started.
Right. only 4 seconds on this grenade. Better use some wisely.
Yeah. Here, hold this. This is the pin. I'll be back in a minute.
Rehash real quickly.
Yeah.
So the parade kicks off on Friday at 10 o'clock from... Fenn Street and North Street. If you're in the parade or want to be in the parade, we'll be mustering in front of City Hall at between 9:30 and 9:45. Everybody will be lined up by 9:45 so we can step off right at 10 o'clock. Right now the weather's looking favorable, mid 40s.
Yeah.
No chance of precipitation right now, but it is only Monday as we're saying this, so that could change. But hopefully it'll be a nice day. I remember one day, probably 5, 6, 7 years ago, we left and it was drizzling and we got there, it was snowing. So, by the time we got there, so that was a little bit of a cold day, but it'll be going on rain or shine. Look forward to seeing people out there. Come support your veterans, come support the folks that are there to support the veterans, which is really, a good deal. It'd be a fun day.
And bring your kids and grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
We've said this before earlier on in the show. Patriotism is a learned trait. And I have to tell you right now, we need to be sure we're teaching that trait. Just from what we see going on, not only in the world, but right here in our own country, with our own countrymen. And to me, it's very discouraging. As a Vietnam veteran, I kind of lived through nothing as intense. But we still have people throw. I was in a Seattle airport. The MPs marched us to our gates and to keep the crowd back.
Right.
And, I got hit with a cup of Coca-Cola somebody threw at us. So, but it's nothing compared to what other Americans are facing today.
Right.
And to me, Jim, that's not what we went into service for.
Exactly. Yeah. But like I said, we did defend the rights for these people to protest peacefully. Once you step over that line, it's no longer peaceful. Then, you know, you've taken it to the next level, and that's when somebody else needs to get involved. But, you know, the right to protest is one of those, you know, Bill of Rights that you have every ability to act upon, as long as you do it in a peaceful, civil way.
Yeah, yes. And you know, the other side of that too, and Jim does know this, is that you can't be threatening people because you don't like them, or you don't like their religion, or you don't like their nationality, or whatever. I mean, I can tell you stories of my ancestors, the Irish who came here. My grandfather was prejudiced against and assaulted and all kinds of stuff.
No.
And so maybe that's why I'm a little bit sensitive, because I used to have to sit and listen to what they went through.
Right.
They came here. And Jim, you probably got the same background as I do, or close to it. And but to the veterans out there, I know this is repetitious, but when you get to be my age, you can be repetitious. Please, if you're not, you, especially you young Afghan, Iraqi guys and gals, don't wait.
Right.
Sign up and here was some wonderful advice I heard from a friend of mine who worked for the VA, told me don't wait and don't let them discourage you. You know, back, this was 25 years ago, they'd send you all over Hell's Half Acre to get your everything checked. I mean, I went from White River Junction to New Haven to, and really, they should have sent me to Boston, because that's where. But please get involved with the VA. If nothing else, go down, see Jim or Amanda. If you're having a problem, they're much easier to work with today, I think.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And you know, they're expecting you now.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, we said jokingly earlier that they could care less, but they're expecting you now.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think the way it's set up now is you can't leave the service without being enrolled in the VA, whether you choose to take that advantage. But, you know, a lot of people get out and they get a good job. A lot of people get out and they're going to school. So they're, you know, using school insurance or whatever. When they're doing that, but somewhere, don't wait till you're 80. You know, you might have a couple year gap because you're, you know, traveling the world or you're doing this, but you know, don't wait till you need it. Wait to know, do it so you know you have it. You have that backup.
That's the point I'm trying to make. Do it, and you know, we all, Jim and I, when we got out, we were all full of you know what and vinegar, but all of a sudden, as you start to get old. And it, thank God, and for the PAC Act, it's taken care of so many of us. But you start to break down a little bit, and it's real nice to know you got the backup of the VA.
And you know, the thing is that the VA also has a lot of experience. They have a lot of experience in areas that your primary care doctor here may not know, because something happened to you in Afghanistan or Iraq or Kuwait or Somalia. It's something that they don't see every day. Whereas the VA has experience across the country, around the world, with people dealing with combat type issues like concussion type issues from IEDs and that sometimes may be misdiagnosed by a provider if he doesn't know your past. So the VA has historical knowledge of different types of diseases and injuries, and they're the best at some of them, like burns and amputations and things like that. They spend millions, if not billions of dollars a year and making it better for those type of injuries, which only get to come over and help out the people that were not veterans, you know, prosthetics, things like that. All the
Diabetes. They're on the cutting edge of a lot of the current diabetic stuff has been fought by the VA.
Because they see so many. So,
Jim, I can't thank you enough for giving up of your time and your service. I will see you somewhere along the parade route. I'll be the old fat bald guy with the cane in case you don't recognize me. Good luck. Thank you so much for all, and I mean this, for all you do for veterans and seniors. I was just coming out of the dry cleaners today, and this lady said, "Oh, I just love going to the senior center." So that's great. That's good.
It is. Yeah, we enjoy it. So, well, happy Veterans Day to Bill, to you,
Thank
Bill,
you.
And everyone else, and best to Roseanne, and we'll see you on Friday.
You bet, and best to your boss too.
I will do. All right.
But we both have command sergeant majors. Anybody who's in the service knows what a command sergeant major is. So
yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. Bye, Jim. Thanks a million.
Okay, Bill.
Bye bye. Bye.